The Devin Nunes Podcast separates fact from fiction. Stay informed. Download the Devin Nunes Podcast today. Available for free at iTunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We are out in Fresno County, rural Fresno County, with Victor Davis Hanson, classicist historian from the Hoover Institute. Victor's very popular, one of the most popular shows we've had so far. And being that we're in the Valley today, and this week, normally I don't like to talk about issues that are current events, but I do think this is a current event that happened this week that really changed the trajectory of where we are with the Russiagate, Russia hoax, Russia fiasco, whatever you want to call it. So Victor, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for doing this on your farm. I can see your new almond trees out there. They look nice.
Thank you for having me.
Springtime in the Valley. It doesn't get better than this. So Victor, you saw this week, I see it as a change in momentum with the Attorney General saying that finally calling it for what it is, which was spying on the Trump campaign. Is it spying or is it not?
Well, it's spying, but I guess in Washington, they prefer the euphemism surveilling or an informant rather than a spy or insertion. They have a lot of euphemisms, but it's pretty clear that when you have a FISA warrant and Carter Page and you go back, that includes time that he did work on the campaign, that's spying. And when you have people like Stephen Harper prowling around, somebody was paying him to find dirt or to entrap Papadopoulos and others. So yeah, I think everybody agrees it is. I think what's the problem now, we're in a state of shock because the media and the progressives and the whole media Democratic nexus had so invested in the Mueller findings. Remember, they were called the Dream Team, the All-Stars, I think the Hunter Killer Team, and they didn't find what they thought. So now they're transitioning from the hunters to being the hunted, and that's terrifying people. And so now all the people who, Clapper, Brennan, McCabe, Comey, that were folk heroes, nobody knows. They're in a state of bewilderment. What's going to happen to these people? So they're like deer in the headlights for these last 2 weeks.
Right. And this week I sent over 8 criminal referrals. 5 of them were direct referrals on individuals. 1 referral was on global leaks of highly classified information that seemed to just go to only a few reporters. And then 2 conspiracy referrals, one based on the manipulation of intelligence and the other based on FISA abuse and other matters. But you're right. One of the things, Victor, that I've been saying to people is the one thing we know for sure is the investigation didn't start July 30th. That we know is a fact, even though we asked FBI and DOJ numerous times to give us everything you had before that supposed George Papadopoulos supposedly met with this guy in a bar, got drunk. And the whole story was that this is what predicated and caused them to open this investigation at the end of July. They pretended that that was Five Eyes intelligence. So what Five Eyes intelligence is for our listeners is it's intelligence that comes from some of our closest longtime partners and allies, like the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Australia, and Canada. So they made it sound like that. But then when we finally got access after fighting over it and subpoenaing it for over a year, we realized that, in fact, it was not a Five Eyes intelligent product at all. It was just some longtime political hack who was the ambassador in the UK who took that to his buddies at the State Department. So with that said, we know that that's not the date. I think the Attorney General mentioned that yesterday or 2 days ago. He wanted to know exactly what were the origins of this investigation. What do you think the origins of this investigation are?
Well, I think it happened sometime when Trump was crystallizing his lead, and he was somewhere in March, April, May of 2016. By that I mean, remember that in late 2015 and up through the February primaries in March, Trump was considered by the media and the Democrats as a buffoon. He would not win the nomination, but he was very valuable for ratings. He was a Apprentice star. So they put him on and gave him $1 billion, they claimed, of free publicity. And they wanted him to destroy and cause chaos. And then as they started looking at him, they saw that he was had high negative. So they thought this would be really great that this guy would get the nomination. We wouldn't have to deal with Scott Walker or Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz. And that happened. But then in that transition of March, April, his polls went up a little bit, and he started getting close to Hillary, and they had about the same negatives. And then I think they thought, wow, we created this monster. And now, to paraphrase Andrew McCabe, whether he referred to this event or not, they needed some kind of insurance policy or some type of way to ensure that...
That was struck in Page.
Page, yeah, referring to what McCabe had said. And I think they thought they needed some type of investigation or some kind of doubt in case this guy caught on. But before, they thought he was only a useful idiot, a way of causing chaos and getting rid of serious candidates. And I think that would be the framework where that started. The FBI started to think about that. And then what galvanized it, there was some early, and you know that better than I do, there was, before we knew about the WikiLeaks and the Hillary Clinton, there was talk of Russians hacking into emails. And I think Obama, there might have been a feeling of anger that Trump did this or he was behind this. But I think it was somewhere in the first quarter of 2016, just my own feeling. The FBI thought, of course, it was all predicated and she was going to win. So what we think now is unethical or illegal behavior. Got to go back to the mindset of them at the time. They thought
they were trying to do favors so that they could ingratiate themselves to the next administration.
When they looked at people like Nate Silver and they saw these projections of a 90%, 88% chance that Hillary was going to win, they thought, we might as well take some risk because she will reward that behavior. And I think it was almost they were going to be competing for her attention by doing this stuff. And their worst nightmare happened. When he won, I think they were so shocked. They never imagined it. And then it transitioned into disrupting the transition and the presidency. And whether that was a preemptive way of covering their tracks or just who knows.
You know, you mentioned WikiLeaks, and look, I think WikiLeaks is a big problem. I think they're a challenge. I think they legitimately are, have been dangerous and have leaked important classified information. However, with that said, I think everybody forgets that Chelsea Manning, who was a man and now is a woman, who supposedly is accused of working with Julian Assange to steal this information from our military and leak it out, which was a bad thing, if indeed that happened. But a lot of people forget one thing, and that is, and I don't know if you remember this or not, Victor, but President Obama commuted the sentence, essentially pardoned Chelsea Manning on his way out the door.
No, I remember. I do remember it. I do. And there was he had a twofer when he did it. She was in the transitioning stage, and he made a big thing about transgenderism and prejudice that were shown that. So he was playing to his left wing, civil libertarian and all of that, freedom of the press. But I've always suspected there were other motives why he did it.
It was very odd, and I think the press is of course, ignoring that. They seem to have amnesia that had happened as this continues to develop over time. Well, Victor, we're out here at Victor's farm today, and we're going to do, over the course of the next couple weeks, we're going to have, over Easter, we're going to review Victor's book, The Case for Trump. And so, but I thought I'd take advantage of being out here with you, Victor, today to get up on a couple current events, which I think are going to be a major change in the whole Russiagate fiasco that we've been dealing with. So, Victor, thanks for being on this week.
Well, thank you for having me.
Folks, we will be back next week with A Case for Trump, Part 1, with Victor Davis Hanson from his farm. This is Devin Nunes. Until next week.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith. Now it's not our first trial by fire. This.
It's nothing hard working family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've
declaring a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.